Today's daf is Baba Basra daf Yud Dalid. We left off on daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, and the Gemara was in the middle of discussing those things that are Yesh Ben Din Chalukah and those things that are Ein Ben Din Chalukah, things that one partner can force the other partner to divide, and other items that one partner cannot force the other partner to divide. And amongst the list of things that one partner cannot force the other partner to divide, and not only amongst the list, but unique amongst things that even if both partners agree, they cannot divide it, even if they both choose to, they both want to, they're both interested in splitting it, they're not allowed to split it, are Sifrei Kodesh. So that led us into a discussion regarding Sifrei Kodesh, regarding Tanakh, and that's a discussion that's going to carry forward through today's daf and tomorrow's daf, as Hashem. So it says in Maratana Rabbanon, Madbikatam Torah Nevi'im Uksuvim Ke'echa, Divrei Rabbi Meir, about 10, 12 lines before the end of the page. First one online is Tana Rabbanan. So again, Tana Rabbanan. Madbikatam Torah Nevi'im Uksuvim Ke'echa, Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds a person is allowed to attach a Torah Nevi'im and Ksuvim all together in one volume, that there's no such problem with putting them all together. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Torah b'fnei atzma, Nevi'im b'fnei atzman, uksuvim b'fnei atzman. Each one has to be on its own. The Torah on its own, the Nevi'im on its own, and the uksuvim on its own. V'chamor m'kal echad v'echad b'fnei atzmo. That each one has to be by itself. V'am Rav Yehuda, and so once the first Tosos says, Madukad and Torah Nevi'im uksuvim k'echad, says Tosos, afal pi she'iev shashalitin Nevi'im uksuvim agabe Torah, even though when you put them together in one volume, so even if you just roll it as a scroll, or the way we would do it in a book, when you would turn the pages, you will very frequently have Nevi'im on top of Torah, because it will either be rolled around it, or it will be, if you have pages like in a book, when you turn toward the back of the book, the pages of Nevi'im will be on top of pages of Torah, and the Gemara says in Maseches Megillah that you're not allowed to put Nevi'im on top of Torah. So says Tosfos, Hanimili b'shtei krichos. That's only if they're two separate entities. If you have a book of Nevi'im, you can't put the book of Nevi'im on top of a book of Torah. Aval k'shem nudubak and yachad einu g'nai, but when they're put together, when they're connected together, so then it's not a g'nai. Second issue is, what's the difference between what the Chachamim are saying and what Rabbi Yehuda is saying? Rabbi Yehuda says that each one is b'fnei atzmo, Torah b'fnei atzmo, Nevi'im b'fnei atzmo, k'suvim b'fnei atzmo, and the Chachamim say kol echad ve'echad b'fnei atzmo. So what does kol echad ve'echad mean? So Rashi says, it does not mean Torah, Nevi'im, and k'suvim, it means kol sefer v'sefer shel Nevi'im v'shel k'suvim, tzarech lios krach li'atzmo. That you shouldn't even have a krach of all of Nevi'im. Each sefer within Navi should have its own volume, its own separate klaf. It should be as a separate entity. They should not be connected together. So even more machmir in terms of how much we have to separate them. Now the Paras Yosef in the back of the Gemara is bothered over here because he points out that where is it? Says the Paras Yosef, Bahaga Tama Amas Samchu Olam. What do we do? Meaning we put Tanakh all together. We all the time do that. But why do we do that? It's Machlokas Rameir and Rabbi Yehuda. And we know, Da Rameir and Rabbi Yehuda, Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. Normally when you have a Machlokas Rameir and Rabbi Yehuda, the klal is you're supposed to paskan like Rabbi Yehuda. So what are we samechan when we paskan like Rabbi Meir? V'li nira dizeh ina tamiya. Da masik v'braisa amir Rabbi Meisa v'vil faneinu tar nevi muksuv v'mudbaka mekechad v'ichsharnu. Umaisa Rav. So he says you're going to see soon the Gemara is going to quote a Maisa that Rebbe said that they brought in front of us the Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim that was all together, and we said that it was kosher. And we have another klal in Halacha that the Halacha is like a Maisa Rav, that whenever you have something where it's not just something that was said theoretically in a Beis HaMedrash, but something that was actually paskin Halacha LaMaisa because of an actual case that happened, so that indicates that the Halacha should follow in that direction, that we paskin that way. So that's why we're going to paskin again against Rabbi Yehuda and like Rabbi Meir, that you could put them all together. Says the Gemara Vayter, Vam Rabbi Yehuda, Maisa beBitus ben Zonin, Shayu l'shmona Nevi'im u'dabakan ke'achar, al pi Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Bitus ben Zonin had eight Nevi'im, all of Sifrei Nevi'im, which are eight, all eight of them, connected together, based on the psak of Rav Elazar ben Azariah. V'yesham lo haylo ela echarach b'fnei asma. And some say, no, he only had one by one. They were not all connected together, or the Chachamim Amrim is the Girs of the Bach. The Chachamim disagree and say it must have been that it was only one by one, because the Chachamim say you're only allowed to have each Sefer Navi on its own. Amr Rebbe Maisa Vivil Fenein Tor Navi Maksuv Midabak Mekachad Vihichsharnam. And Rebbe quotes a Maisa Shahaya, they brought us a Tanakh that was all together, and we said that that was kasher. Says the Gemara Vayter, Ben Chumash L'Chumash Shal Torah Arba Ashitin. When writing a Sefer Torah, you have to leave the space between each Chumash and a Sefer Torah, you have to leave four empty lines. Ben Kal Navi V'chein Rein Kal Navi L'Navi. And the same is true between each Sefer of Navi. You have to leave four empty lines between Sefrei Nevi'im. Ubin Navi Shal Shemasar Gimel Shitin. But within the Treyasar, each of the Nevi'im within the Treyasar are so small, so the space between each of the Nevi'im and the Treyasar, they're more like one unit, you would only leave three empty lines. Umesayim Ilamato Maskel Milamala. And within the Treyasar, when you finish, or not only within the Treyasar, by all of them, if you ever finish a Sefer Navi, At the bottom of a column, you don't need to leave the extra lines. You can just start the next sefer at the top of the column. And Rashi says, "Im nizdamin lo siyum hasefer milamata b'sof hadaf, maschil sifro acher b'rosh hadaf." If you finish at the bottom, you can start the next sefer at the top of the page. Ve'eino tzarich laniach reva chalak b'nehem, and you do not need to leave any empty space between them. Tanu Rabbanan. Actually, just one ha'ara, the Rashash points out, V'chein bein kol navi v'navi, the Rashash says, Ra'isi nevi'im k'suvim b'klaf, mikos feistam, de'ireinu. He says, I've seen the sofrim in my city that have written sifrei nevi'im on klaf, asher bein shmuel aleph l'bein shmuel beis gimel shitin. And they left three empty lines between sefer shmuel aleph and sefer shmuel beis. And they do the same thing by Malachim. He says they leave 3.5 lines of empty space. He says, Venir de to betarti. He says they made two mistakes. He says, first of all, there's no such thing as Sefer Shmuel Aleph and Sefer Shmuel Beis, Sefer Melachim Aleph, Sefer Melachim Beis. It's really all one Sefer, and therefore there should be no space left between them. Shainis, and the second point is Hanachas Gimel Shitin V'Chatzi Nira Kamosha Machriin Ben Girsas Rashi L'Girsas Rabam V'Olsin D'Lo Kechad. The idea of leaving 3.5 lines looks like they're trying to compromise between the Girs of Rashi and the Girs of Rambam, right? That one has a Girs that he's supposed to leave 3, the other has a Girs that he's supposed to leave 4, and it turns out that they're doing like nobody, because 3.5 is nobody's Shita. So both according to Rashi and according to the Rambam, you're not solving any problems because you're doing like nobody. Va'odra isi asher b'roshu v'sofo k'dei logul amud v'nigla lem tzi'iso gam zeh ta'us ki l'fiya ol m'sugis ha'gemara v'kirsa ta'usos v'aposkim tzok she nigla l'tchilas v'yeba k'dei logul hekif. So the next issue we're going to see in the Gemara is how much empty space to leave at the beginning and at the end, before you start writing and after you finish writing, how much empty space. So we're going to see that at the beginning you just leave enough space for an amud, for one pillar to hold it together and to get around that pillar, and at the end you leave enough space to wrap around the entire sefer, because we assume it's wrapped like a megillah. And he says, I've seen that they only leave the amount of an amud both at the beginning and at the end, and that seems to be incorrect based on the sugya that we're going to have. So Rashash was just commenting on the minhag of sofrim of his time, and he thought that they were made several mistakes. Says Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan. That's what I'm up to. Tanu Rabbanan, Harotza l'davik Torah Nevi'im uksuvim ke'echad, medavik v'osa b'rosho, k'dei logul amud u'besofo k'dei logul hekev. That when you connect a Torah Nevi'im uksuvim together, you make at the beginning enough to k'dei logul amud, to put enough klaf, enough empty klaf, to wrap around the amud of the wooden amud of the sefer that the sefer gets rolled on. In Sefer Torah, our minhag is we have two amudim, but they assume that, and by Megillah we don't have any, but the assumption is you had one, so you make enough klaf to wrap around one of the amudim, and at the end enough to wrap around the entire thickness of the whole sefer. Whenever you finish at the bottom, you can begin the next sefer at the top. And if you want to come and cut it up, you're allowed to come and split it up. My kamar. So what's it saying? Right? What does that come to tell us? Everyone says that Torah and Nevi'im and Ksuvim are better when they're split apart. So of course it's better to split it apart than to leave it as just one large Tanakh. So Hachikamar, now this is what it means to say, She'im ba'lachto chotech. The reason why when you finish at the bottom, when you finish Torah at the bottom, you begin Navi at the top and you don't leave a space, is because the halacha is that if you want to split it, you're allowed to split it. And when you're going to split it, you don't want it to be a gnai. It's going to look bad if the beginning of the sefer is not at the top. So that's why when you finish the sefer at the bottom, you can begin at the top. And that's in anticipation of the fact that it may one day be split. Says it says both tchila sefer v'sofa, both the beginning and the end, is only enough to roll around. You're supposed to leave enough klaf to roll. Kedei lagel mai, to roll what? I kedei lagel amud kasha hekif. If it means enough to roll an amud around the amud, so then it's a problem, because we just said you have to leave enough at the end. That's much more than that, to wrap around the whole thing. If you mean to say that they left enough at the beginning and the end to wrap around the entire thing, kasha amud. So then you have a problem with the beginning, because we said at the beginning you're not supposed to leave that much, only enough to wrap around the amud. No, it means to say that you're supposed to leave enough at the beginning, at the end, to roll it, to wrap around. At the beginning, enough to wrap around the amud, and at the end, enough to wrap around the entire thickness of the sefer. So it's not the same, both at the beginning, at the end. It's l'tzad and katani. It means two separate things. Ravashi amar kitanya hi b'sefer Torah. Ravashi says, no, that's a halacha that we learn by a sefer Torah. Kitanya kol tzvarim neglalim t'chilas on the sofan. All svarim normally have one amud, and they roll from beginning to end. Sefer Torah neglalim t'isa, but a sefer Torah, like our sefer Torah, have two amudim, and they roll toward the middle. You make an amud on either side. And that's how the Kosei Sfarim in Yerushalayim used to make their Sefer Torah. They would make two amudim, one on either side, and they would roll the sefer toward the middle. Tanu Rabbanan. Enos and Sefer Torah lo arko yosra al akefo, lo akefo yosra al arko. When you make a Sefer Torah, the length of the Sefer Torah, which means the height of the Sefer Torah, should not be greater than the circumference of the Sefer Torah, nor should the circumference of the Sefer Torah be greater than the height of the Sefer Torah. So Shalos says, so there's supposed to be a proportion to the between the height and the circumference of the Sefer Torah. Shalos Rebbe Shir Sefer Torah Bekama. So they asked Rebbe, what is the Shir of the Sefer Torah? Meaning, what is the circumference supposed to be? What is the height supposed to be? Tell me it's supposed to be the same. What's the measurement? Samar Lahen B'Gvil Shisha. If you make it with Gvil, which is a type of klaf that's very thick and is going to cause a very large circumference, so it should be 6 tfachim. That's the proper measurement of the Sefer Torah, beklaf bekama. And what if you don't make a bigvil? What if instead you make it with klaf? So in Yodeh, he says, I don't know. I'm not sure exactly what the proper height and circumference is supposed to be. Okay, Rav Huna Kasav Shivin Sifrei Da'oraisa Velo Srami Lei El Echad. And the Gemara just tries to impress upon us how difficult this is to do, to turn out, to write a sefer in such a way that you're going to make sure that you're going to have enough space to write, you're only going to leave a certain amount of empty klaf at the beginning and at the end, and you're going to end up with exactly the same circumference as the height. So the Gemara impresses upon us how difficult it was by telling us that Rav Huna wrote 70 Sifrei Torah, and he only got it once. Of all the 70, he only once just nailed it perfectly, where the circumference was the same as the height. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Kasav Chad Amashche Deigli V'Shamilei. Rav Acha bar Yaakov wrote only one sefer on calf klaf, and he got it. And that one time, he mamish hit it on the head. He got it perfect that one time that he wrote a sefer. But because, again, as we said, it was so unusual and so difficult to master, to get it just like that, and the first try he got it, so the Rabbanan gave him sort of an ayin hara, they got jealous of him, and he died as a result of it. So it's the koch of an ayin hara. So since he got it on the first time, everyone looked at him, drew attention to it, and that caused him to die. Amr le Rabbanan Rav Nuna, Kasav Rabbi Ami Dalin Mea Sifrei Torah. So the Rabbanan told Rav Huna, you know, you think it's impressive that we just said about Rav Huna that he wrote 70 Sifrei Torah. They say about Rabbi Ami that he wrote 400 Sifrei Torah. So Amar Lahu, so Rav Nuna says, there must be a pshat. 400 Sifrei Torah can't mean that he actually wrote 400 Sifrei Torah. A human being is not capable in his life of writing 400 Sifrei Torah. So he says, Amar Lahu, Dilma, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe Kasav. Maybe he wrote the Pasuk Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe 400 times, and that's what people say as a melitza, that he wrote 400 Sifrei Torah, but there's no way in the world he actually wrote 400 Sifrei Torah. Why would he write the Pasuk Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe 400 times? Just some. He was punished after class, write Torah Tziva Lanu 400 times. What was going on? So it says Tosfos, Omer Rabbeinu Tam, to also Pasuk Karoi Torah, Kedam Perakimul Desuka, Katan Eodel Daber, Aviv Malamdo Torah. My Torah? Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. That Pasuk is often referred to as Torah. That's why we're guessing that that's the Pasuk he wrote, because we do find that we refer to that Pasuk as Torah. Where do we find that we refer to that Pasuk as Torah? When the Gemara says in Sukkah that as soon as a child knows how to speak, his father should already teach him Torah. So the Gemara says, what do you mean his father is supposed to teach him Torah? So the Gemara says his father should teach him the Pasuk, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. That's what it means, his father should teach him Torah. So you see that when we refer to that Pasuk, we do refer to it as Torah. But what you also see from that Gemara is why he may have written it 400 times. He may have been writing for Tinokos. He may have been writing like the alphabet chart for the pre-1A classroom that everyone should see, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. That's the first thing a child is supposed to be taught, is the Pasuk, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. So maybe he wrote it for that purpose. Bottom line is, though, he didn't actually write 400 Sifrei Torah. The Meiri says a different approach. The Meiri says that Lav Dafka, the Pasuk Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. I mean, the Gemara doesn't give that example because that's exactly the Pasuk that he wrote. The Meiri says it could have been any Pasuk. And the point is that if you write any Pasuk in the Torah, or even if you're Magia Osachas in the Torah, even if you only correct a single letter in the Torah, still it's Ki'ilu you wrote a Sefer Torah. Because after all, Sefer Torah Shechasar Osachas, Sefer Torah that's missing a single letter is Pasul. So when you go and you write an Osachas or a Pasuk Echad B'Torah, it's Ki'ilu you wrote that Torah, because without your contribution, the Torah would not be kosher. And that's what it means, that they said he wrote 400 Sifrei Torah. He made 400 Sifrei Torah kosher through his writing. I just thought that might be one of the reasons why when people do Achnas Sefer Torah, when people write a Sefer Torah, they do the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah, so the minig is that the Sofer leaves the last few lines not filled in, and you mechabit people to write one letter. So what's the kunz of writing one letter? According to the Meiri, no, that's a mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah, because one could say, really, mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah, l'chor is to write the entire Torah. Who says you get a mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah with writing Osachas? But we see that if they said about Rabbi Ami that he wrote 400 Sefer Torah because he wrote one Pasuk 400 times, so it's indicative of the idea that perhaps a single Pasuk from a Sefer Torah is also called the Sefer Torah. So according to the Meiri, he didn't just start write the Pasuk. He wrote the Pasuk within the context of a Sefer Torah, right? According to Tosos or to others who say that it was just, he wrote it up for Tinokos, that like the Marsha says, he wrote it up for Tinokos so that the Tinokos can have the Pasuk of Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe to read from. So he didn't write it within the context of a Sefer Torah, he just wrote Torah Tziva Lanu. So good, so that's the possible explanation. Amrle Ravla Rabbi Zeira, Rav said to Rabbi Zeira, once we're talking about people who, there are unbelievable rumors about what they were able to do, Nata Rabbi Yani Arba Mea Karmi, he says, I heard that Rabbi Yani planted 400 vineyards. Amrle, he says, no, that's also impossible. Dilma Shtayim Keneged Shtayim Vachas Yotzei Zanav. Unless you go with the very minimal definition of what a vineyard is, which is two vines and two vines in a shape in the position of a box, right, of a square, and then one vine at the bottom like a tail coming out of that square. He says that counts as a vineyard. So maybe that's what he did. He planted 400 sets of those, but there's no way that he planted 400 vineyards. Why would he plant 400 anything? What was he doing? Why was it so necessary for him to plant all these vineyards? And why is that such a shevach? I understand, writing Sefer Torah, that's phenomenal. But planting the vineyards, so the Ritva explains, Sha'asa kein mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. He did this as a chelik of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. The kiyum of the mitzvah is with planting the vineyards, because the mitzvahs at Tlius Ba'aretz are talui in having things planted in Eretz Yisrael. So when you go and you plant in Eretz Yisrael, you're enabling all the mitzvahs at Tlius Ba'aretz. So that's the greatest mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, which is an interesting chiddush in the Geder of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. L'chor, according to the Ritva, the gedder of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is to see to it that all those mitzvahs of Tlius Ba'aretz are going to be able to be fulfilled. If you live in Eretz Yisrael, but you don't plant and you don't eat fruits and vegetables or whatever, and you don't enable yourself or others to do the mitzvos atzlios ba'aretz, so it's not a full kiyum l'chor according to the Ritva of mitzvos yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Actually, planting the land and doing things that are going to lead to mitzvos atzlios ba'aretz, that's a kiyum of the mitzvah of yishuv Eretz Yisrael. A phenomenal chiddush. Meisvei says Gemara Aron Shasa Moshe. Now the Gemara is going to discuss the Aron that the Torah was placed in, and the Aron that the Luchos were placed in, the Aron in the Beis Hamikdash. Aron Shasa Moshe, the Aron that Moshe Rabbeinu made, Amasai Vechetzi Arko, Vama Vechetzi Rachlo, Vama Vechetzi Kamoso, was 2.5 amos long, 1.5 amos wide, and 1.5 amos tall. And ba'ama ba'shish tefachim. In each of the amos we're talking about, we assume were 6 tefach amos, not 5 tefach amos. Va'luchos, the luchos that were placed inside of the aron, arkan shisha, v'rachman shisha, were square 6x6 tefachim. Va'avin shlosha, the height was 3 tefachim. Menachos keneged archo shel aron, and they were placed side by side along the length of the aron. So they were side by side, 12 tefachim along the length of the aron. So as it turns out, the length of the aron was how much? It was 2.5 amos, which is 15 tefachim. The width was an amma v'chetzi, which is 9 tefachim, and the height was also 9 tefachim. So now the Gemara is going to try to figure out how whatever needed to fit in the aron actually fit in the aron. So kama luchos achos ba'aron, how much length did the luchos take up in the aron? 12 tefachim, was 12 tefachim of length. Nishtayr sham shlosh tefachim, which leaves 3 tefachim left over of length. Same and tefach chetzi l'kosel zeh v'chetzi l'kosel zeh. Take away a tefach of that for the thickness of the walls, because when we gave the 2.5 amal length of the aron, we were referring to the as measured from the outside, not as the space inside the aron. And the thickness of the walls took up a tefach. So nishtayr sham shnei tefachim sheben sefer Torah munach. So you're left with 2 tefachim left in the aron of open space. That's where the sefer Torah went along the length of the aron. Shnemar ein ba'aron rak shnei luchos avanim. Pasuk says, "Ein ba'aron rak," that we only had in the aron the sefer the luchos. My ein ba'aron rak. Why does it say ein ba'aron rak? It's a double miut, and whenever you have a double miut, it's always coming l'rabos. It's always coming to include something. So what's it coming to include extra? It's coming to include the Sefer Torah, that in the Aron was not only the Luchos, but was also Sefer Torah right next to the Luchos. So says Gemara, very nice. Pirnasta Aron l'arkov, Tseo Parnes Aron l'rochlo. You've now explained the length of the Aron. What about the width? What took up the entire space of width? So kama luchos achos ba'aron shisha tefachim. How much space of width did the luchos take up in the aron? They took up 6 tefachim. Nishtayr sham shlosh tefachim, which left 3 more tefachim of width. Well, same and tefach chesil kosel zeh v'chesil kosel zeh. Take away the thickness of the walls again, because again, as we measured the 9 tefachim of width, it was measuring from the outside, not the space inside the box. Nishtayr sham shnei tefachim shlo yei sefer Torah nichnas v'yotzek shudach divrei Meir. So you're left with 2 tefachim of extra width, and the reason for that is that the Sefer Torah shouldn't be stuffed in there with no wiggle room. You need a little bit of room so that when you could take the Sefer Torah in and out rather easily. That's why the 2 tefachim of width were left there, so that the Sefer Torah can have a little bit of room to be taken in and out without having to stuff it in. Says Tosos, wait a second, to take the Sefer Torah in and out, when did you ever do that? Vim tomar v'aloloyu mitzino somina aron. They never took the Sefer Torah out of the aron. Where was this aron kept? It was in the Kodesh HaKadashim. Whoever goes into the Kodesh HaKadashim, you're not allowed to go into the Kodesh HaKadashim except what? Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur. So read the Seder Avodah. Go through Maseches Yuma. Find me where he opens up the aron and takes out the Sefer Torah in the Kodesh HaKadashim. Never! He says, "B'yom Kippurim lo ashkan b'seder yoma shahay motzio." We don't find in Seder Yoma that he took out the aron from the sefer Torah from the aron. So says the Cheshek Shlomo. He says, "Near be'enai ein sefer reishis b'kurim l'mara chiyagon zatzal daf chafei shehir al devreim zal." He says, "My brother asked a kasha on this Tosos. De my raya mehadol miskar b'seder yoma. How can you bring any raya from that which is not mentioned in the Seder Avoda in Maseches as recorded in Maseches Yuma? Hallo kol seder ayom shenishnasham hakol mi bayisheni kamari. the entire Seder Yom that's mentioned in Maseches Yuma is all from the second Beis Hamikdash. It's from the times of the second Beis Hamikdash. That's why the Gemara over there says, when it says Higia La'aron, it means he got to the space where the Aron used to be. But in the Bayis Sheni, the Aron was not there in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It was dug, buried underground or something. It was not there. It wasn't on the site in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So maybe the reason why it doesn't mention the Kohen taking out the Sefer Torah from the Aron is because it's only talking about the Bayis Sheni, where there was no Aron. But maybe in Echinami, during the times of the Bayis Rishon, part of the Sefer Avodah Yom Kippur was that he actually did take out the Sefer Torah from the Aron. We don't know. It's possible. It's at least possible. You certainly can't bring a raya from what's recorded in our Seder Yoma to what ideally should have been when they had an Aron. But anyway, Tosfos assumes that the Kohen Gadol didn't take out the Sefer Torah. So his kasha is, what's the point of leaving wiggle room to take out the Sefer Torah? It was never taken out anyway. So says Tosfos, Yeshlomar de Litzorach Kedel Sakein Shari Likari Space Kodesh HaKadosh Gmitam Rin Beirvin. No, you're allowed to go into the Kodesh HaKadosh once in a while if something needs to be fixed. Bachinami. So similarly, Yechol Mikani Sham Kedel Sakein Sefer Torah Kedesh Loisafi Shviskalkal. Once in a while, they would need to check the Sefer Torah, make sure that it didn't get the moisture, the humidity, whatever, that it didn't get ruined from whatever it might be, from moisture, humidity, age, whatever it might be that may have ruined it. They have to check it to make sure that nothing happened to it. I wonder if they had air conditioning. They probably wouldn't need to do that, because things don't get ruined like that unless it's exposed to such exposure to heat or whatever. If you ask people who check, who check tefillin, they'll tell you that 99% of the tefillin that they check that are pasul were always pasul. Things don't develop psulim. Very rarely do they develop psulim unless they're put in extremely adverse conditions. A mezuzah that's not in a very good case, that's left outside of the house, meaning that's on the outside door, or tefillin that were left in a car for an extended period of time during summer heat or something like that. Only if it's put under adverse conditions. And under normal conditions, they don't really develop psulim. But anyway, it got hot in Israel, and they didn't have air conditioning in the Beis HaMikdash. Some of they will, right? But for everyone, we could hope, right? But they didn't have in the Beis HaMikdash. So it's possible that it developed psulim. The gam yishacharav mishkan shiloh at shabana shlomo Beis HaMikdash hayichol notziyo min ha'aron l'ayin bo. Plus, there was a little bit of lag time between the mishkan shiloh and the Beis HaMikdash, where they had the Aron, and it wasn't in a Kodesh HaKadoshim, so they were able to remove things from the Aron. Anyway, that's what Meir says those extra two tefachim were for, to provide a little wiggle room. Notice, no one comments about what the height was for. Right? The Radvaz points out, it's strange. The Gemara talks about all this extra length. What was the point of that? Oh, they must put a Sefer Torah there. What do they need all this extra width? To make a little wiggle room for the Sefer Torah. And how much extra width are we talking about? Two tefachim already. Look at the height. The height of each of the luchos was, we said, three tefachim. The height of the Aron was 9 tefachim. That's huge. Why all that empty space? So the Radvaz says, because we have a cloud that the Shekhinah doesn't go l'mat me'asar tefachim. So if you need the Hashras Shekhinah on top of the Aron, they had to make it high enough. You have the Aron 9 tefachim plus the Kaporis is 1 tefach. The thickness of the rim is 1 tefach. So then the Shekhinah is right above the Aron. So since the Shekhinah doesn't call the Matame Asara, they needed to lift the Aron to make the Aron high enough to make it 10 tefachim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ba'amabas Chamisha Tefachim. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, we're misunderstanding the whole thing. The Amos that we described, the length and width of the Aron, are Amos of 5 tefachim. V'aluch Asarkan Shisha V'rachman Shisha V'avin Shalosh V'menachos Baruch Hashal Aron. And like you said, the luchos were exactly as you said. The luchos were 6 by 6 by 3, and they were placed along the length of the Aron. But wait a second. If the Amos described in the Aron, 2.5 Amos were 2.5 Amos, 5 Tefachim each, that means 12.5 Tefachim long by 7.5 Tefachim wide, by 7.5 Tefachim high. So Kam Luchos Ochos Baron, if you have 12 Tefachim worth of Luchos in an Aron that's in its entirety, is only 12.5 Tefachim long, so the luchos took up 12 tefachim. Nishtayr shem chatzi tefach. All you left is with an extra half a tefach, and that's etzba lekosel zeh. Etzba lekosel zeh. The walls are much thinner than we originally thought. It's only an etzba of thickness for each wall, and that takes up the entire 12.5 tefachim. Pernas tarul ne'arkot seir parnes tarul ne'rachbo. Great. That explains the length. What about the width? Kam luchos ogdos pa aron. How much of the luchos take up in the width of the aron? Shisha tefachim. Nishtar shem tefach mechza, leaves you with an extra tefach and a half. Semehen chatzi tefach. Esba mechza lechosel zeh, esba mechza lechosel zeh. A half of a tefach is the thickness of the walls. Nishtar shem tefach. That leaves you one tefach of width. Shebo amudim, and that's where the amudim would stand. They would have these silver amudim that they would lie across that extra tefach of width that they had next to the luchos. Right? Rashi says, "Beis amudei kesef k'min amudei sefer Torah, like the amudim of a sefer Torah, shochem la'archo va'luchos b'nehen, and the luchos were between those amudim. So it wasn't like the luchos were pushed up against the wall and you had amudim next to it. Luchos were in the middle and amud on each side. There are two amudei kesef on each side of the luchos. Why kesef? Why not zahav? So Tosfos comments on this. He says, first of all, these amudim were symbolic. He says, "Near lo rabbeinu tam desim laham of this shol haya v'lo asotim shel zav shel lahaskir ma'isa egel din kategonas senegar." He didn't want to make it out of gold because they didn't want to mention, they didn't want to bring to mind the egel because of ein kategonas senegar. V'chein amrin brashanu d'mishum hachi lo yekoyin mishamish shlofnai v'lofnim v'yom kippur be big day zav. And that's why in Roshanu we say the kohen gadol in Yom Kippur would not wear the big day zav when he would go into the kodesh hakodashim. Why? Mishum dein kategor nasa senegar, because it brings back bad memories for the ribbono shel olam of the chet ha'egel, and we don't want to bring that to mind. So the kohen gadol doesn't wear big day zav. V'hasam parich v'hava aron shayish al zav ha'ilfnim. So you're probably wondering, but wait a second, the aron itself was made out of gold. So the Gemara asks that kasha. How can you say that we don't have the amudim can't be made out of gold? Kohen Gadol can't wear begadim made out of gold because ain't kategor nas snegar. But the aron itself, which is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and is permanently there, is made out of gold. Umeshani mechaper kamrinan, that only things that serve as a mechaper can't be made out of gold. You want something, that's the lashon kategor nas snegar. You want something to serve as a defense attorney for you, something to fix up your averos, something to be a mechaper for you. You better not bring to mind when you're trying to have something as a mechaper, you better not bring to mind the chere egel. So are the amudim a mechaper? In what way are these amudim a mechaper? So he says, "V'hani amudim nami hayu kemo mechaper shehim asuim simen la'amad d'sisol," because they are a simen for Klal Yisrael continuing to thrive. So therefore, they're considered like a mechaper. And he says, "V'hushi yasra payot," and he says, "If you look at the piyut, the Python says it beautifully in the piyut on the Yom Rishon de Pesach, where he says, Tavnis os Yosef amudav asa kesef." And what does that mean? Bishvil Tavnis Os Yosef, because of the image that is represented by Shevet Yosef, that represents Shevet Yosef, Simen Shel Yosef, what's that image? Tahainu Egel. Yosef represents, the symbol that represents Yosef is an Egel, is a calf. So because of the symbol of Yosef, the Python didn't want to say Egel. So he said, because of the symbol of Yosef, namely the Egel, to Yosef Nikashar, Shamar Bechor Sharu Hadalo, Lekach Amud Avasa Kesef. That's why the Amudim had to be made out of silver, because of the symbol of Yosef, because of the Egel. So beautifully, so poetic. Velo Zahav Shalask and Maisa Egel, and couldn't have been made out of gold, so as not to bring to mind the Maisa Egel. The Marsha points out that we say that this was a symbol for Hamadas Yisrael. So he says, Ani Mosif Pazeh, Tahani Beis Amudim, Remez LeBeis Amudim Yisrael, Shein Beis Yehuda, Beis Yosef. Two Amudim to represent the Beis Yehuda and the Beis Yosef, Kumfurish Bekama Makraos. Meaning, these are representative of Hamadas Yisrael, each one represents different Malchus, the Malchus Yehuda and the Malchus Beis Yosef. Valkein Tala Betavnis Os Yosef, Vishayach Me'udim, Hulet Havnis Os Yosef, Shinuk Rashar, Lakachas Akesav Lozav, Shlola Haskir Egel. And that's why it brings Yosef and his symbol to mind, because one of them did represent Yosef. And he says, furthermore, v'efsharod shalola haskir ma'isa yiravam shabam Yosef. It comes to remind us not to bring to mind that which Yiravam did, because Yiravam came from Yosef, and Yiravam actually made two egle zahav, right? Yiravam, when he didn't want people going to Yerushalayim, so he made two egle zahav as centers of worship. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. So We are on the second wide line. Shenemar, Apirin Osla Mel Shlomo Meatse Alvonun Amudavas Akasef Vidas Zav Merkav Argamen. Fine, so we see that he made a mud out of Kasef. Va'argas Shishigruba Plishtim Doron Elokay Yisrael Munach Mitzido. The Plishtim, after they had taken the Aron in battle, remember when Eli died, that was the whole terrible battle when Eli's children died. The Plishtim had taken the Aron in that battle, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the Plishtim through a whole series of exercises and pain as a result of the fact that they had the Aron, and they ultimately realized, we need to get rid of this thing. This is terrible. It's causing us so much trouble. So they sent it back to Klal Yisrael. They put it on a wagon, and they sent it together with a gift. The Psukim say it's a bit of an unusual gift. They sent either golden, depending on which version you understand, they sent a box, and they sent golden mice or golden hemorrhoids, because depending on what their pain was, because one of the ways that they suffered was that either mice came into their bodies through their bodily holes, or that they had hemorrhoids. So they sent an image of that in gold to Klal Yisrael as a gift, but they also sent the box. So I'm not sure what happened to the mice and the hemorrhoids, but the Gemara discusses what happens to the box. Right, so Argus Shigru Plishim Daron Lelkei Yisrael Munach Mitzido. That was next to the Aron. Shemra Veskle Azav Asher Heshivosim Lo Asam Tassimu Ba Argus Mitzido Vishlachtam Asav Halach. Va'alav Sefer Torah Munach. And on top of that box, the Sefer Torah was put. Meaning, if you hold that the Sefer Torah was not in the Aron, because according to our mayor, there was no room for the Sefer Torah. According to Behuda, rather, there was no room for the Sefer Torah in the Aron, because the Aron was with the Amos Bas Chamisha Tvachim, so the Sefer Torah was on that box. Shnemer lekoch haSefer Torah zev v'samtem osu mitzad Aron bris Hashem mitzadu munach v'lo b'tocho. It was put on the side of the Aron, not in it. Umani mekayim ein bar and rak. What do you do with the pasuk of ein bar and rak, which we said before is a mirach or miut, which implies that something else was in the Aron if the Sefer Torah was not in the Aron? L'rabos shivrei luchos. No, you know what else was in the Aron? The broken luchos were in the Aron shemunachim v'aron. V'isal kadav Sefer Torah kefuv avtachim. If you hold the Sefer Torah, the circumference of a Sefer Torah is supposed to be six tefachim, like we just said. This is why we quoted this whole story about the Aron, because we just described that when you write a Sefer Torah, it's supposed to be six tefachim high and six tefachim of circumference. If it's supposed to be six tefachim of circumference, mechti kol sheyesh b'kefer shlosh tefachim yesh b'rochav tefach. Pi is 3, roughly. The Gemara always assumes pi is 3. Right? That's a long way of saying pi is 3. Kol sheyesh b'kefer shlosh tefachim yesh b'rochav tefach. Anything that's 3 tefachim of circumference is 1 tefach of across, what do you call it?
Diameter.
Good. So the Kibbutz Lam to Iso Niglal, and since the Sefer Torah was rolled toward the middle, it wasn't one circle, it was rather two circles. Nafesh lemi trei tavchi ravcha. So if you can have six tefachim of circumference, if it were one big circle, so that would be two tefachim of diameter, but now you roll it toward the middle, so there's a little dead space, so it's going to be more than two tefachim of diameter. It's going to be more than, not diameter, more than two tefachim of space. So the beni beni betrei pushki hechiyosef. So how did a Sefer Torah that actually had to take up more than two tefachim of space fit in an area that was exactly two tefachim in the view of Rabbi Yehuda? The Sefer Azara, and even in the view of Rameir, the Sefer Azara was not rolled as two separate, to the middle, as two circles. Rather, it was all rolled to the beginning. So it was one big circle. So says Gemara, but still, Vakati, Trey Betrey, Hechi Yosef, still. How do you fit something that's exactly two tefachim in the space that's exactly two tefachim? It's a little bit tight. So Ravashi, Dekarachme, Porta, Vakarchi, Delel. They unrolled it a little bit and rolled that out on top, meaning in the extra space along the side, they rolled it out a little bit so that it would fit. Rabbi Yehuda, Mekami, Delezi, Argus, Sefer Torah, Hechi Avi Yosef. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, prior to the push from sending this box, where did the Sefer Torah go? If ultimately it went on top of the box, where did it go before they sent the box? So he said, "Dapa v'nafik minei v'yasi v'lavas sefer Torah." They had like a ledge that came out of the Aron, and they had the Sefer Torah sit on that. Rameir, hi mitzad Aron maya. But what's Rameir going to do with the pasuk that says the Sefer Torah was mitzad Aron? Rameir holds it was in the Aron. So umi bayle the misnach le mitzad v'lo misnach beni luchei uliyolim begavei minatzad. Rameir would say, yeah, it was next to the luchos. It wasn't in between the luchos. That's what it means minatzad. It was on the side of the Aron rather than in the center of the Aron between the two luchos, but it was inside the Aron. Rameir amudim hechavu kaima. Where would Rameir have the amudim if they didn't have room for them in the Aron? Mavrai, but Meir held that the Amudim were on the outside of the Aron. Where does he get the idea that they put the broken luchos inside the Aron? Why would they put the broken luchos inside the Aron? So Nafkle Midrav Huna, Dam Rav Huna, Maiduch Sev Asher Nikra, Asher Nikra. What does the pasuk mean when it says Asher Nikra? Shame, shame, Hashem Tzavakos, Yoshev Akruv Malav, Malamej. From the fact that it says shame, shame twice, that teaches us shaluchos v'shivrei luchos menachem baron, that both the luchos and the broken set of luchos were put in the aron. Just a quick word on pi. The Gemara assumes pi is 3. Just go back a little bit. The Gemara assumes pi is 3. The Gemara in Erevin asks, how do I know minayin that pi is 3? I think in Sukkah also the Gemara asks. And the Gemara brings a raya from the Yam Shel Shlomo, described in Sefer Melachim, how it described that he had a circular swimming pool, and it described the measurements, and it was 3 times the circumference, 3 times the diameter. So the Gemara says, from there you see, pi is 3. So the Achronim Abad, the Aruch HaShulchan quotes, and I think the Vilna Gaon as well, that what do you mean that how do I know pi is 3? Take anything that's a circle, take a string that has marked off measurements on it, and measure the circumference and the diameter, and you'll see that pi is roughly 3, a little more than 3. So what do you mean? I need a raya from a pasuk to something that's a clearly observable fact? So that's what the Achronim point out. Pi isn't 3. It's 3.14, whatever. Go down a few more digits, a lot more digits. It's a lot. It's not. We don't know exactly, but it's not exactly 3. What's the Gemara asking when it says, how do I know pi is 3? Is how do I know when it comes to doing measurements halachically, I'm allowed to assume that pi is 3? Right, when it comes to measuring the size of a sukkah and figuring out Erevin issues, how do I know I'm allowed to make the assumption for the sake of halachic measurements? You're allowed to round off and assume that pi is 3. Because the pasuk tells me by the Yam Shel Shlomo where it was obviously rounding off, because it couldn't have been that it was exactly a 3-to-1 ratio, because that's not pi. So you see that you're allowed to assume pi is a good vart. The other sheet that would say like Rabbi Yochanan, why does it say shame, shame? To teach me that the shame Hashem and all the different shemos Hashem were all placed in the Aron. What does the other sheet to do with that? The one that uses the pasuk to teach me that the shivrei luchos were in the Aron. He uses that pasuk of shame, shame to teach me that all the shemos Hashem were in the Aron. How does he know the Shivrei Luchos then were in the Aron? Nafkele mitutani Rav Yosef. He knows it from what Rav Yosef taught us. Tutani Rav Yosef, Asher Shivarta v'samtem. Malamit shaluchos v'shivrei luchos menachem baron. The way the pasuk says is yevechtov es al haluchos es advar masher hayu haluchos arishonim asher shivarta. You should write the second luchos, everything that was on the first luchos that you broke, the samtem baron, and you should place them in the Aron. But if you put the kam in a different place, you just read the phrase asher shivarta v'samtem, the broken luchos, and place them. So you see that you place the broken luchos in the Aron as well, right? V'samtem ba'aron. Asher shibarta v'samtem ba'aron, you place the broken luchos in the Aron as well. The idach umin by leil to Reish Lakish. And the other sheet will say, no, we need that to teach us Reish Lakish's din. Reish Lakish's limud. Am Reish Lakish, asher shibarta amr lo kodesh baruch l'moshe, yiyasher kochach asher shibarta. Kodesh baruch told Moshe, ben after he broke the luchos, shkayach, you did a good job. Tan rabbanan, we have a braisa. Sidron shel Nevi'im, the order of Nevi'im goes as follows. Yoshua, Shoftim, Shmuel, Malachim, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel, Yishayahu, 12. Michti, Hoshea, Kadim, Dechsev, Tchila, Tzvar, Hashem, Hoshea. Hoshea was first, because it says Tchila, Tzvar, Hashem, Hoshea. V'chim, Hoshea, Dibur, Tchila, V'alom, Moshe, V'ad, Hoshea, Kam, Nevi'im. What do you mean God first spoke to Hoshea? There were plenty of Nevi'im in between the days of Moshe and the days of Hoshea. V'am, Rabbi Yochanan, Shea, Tchila, Arba, Nevi'im, Shenisnav, V'bos, HaPerek. No, he was the first of the 4 Nevi'im of his time. V'eluhein, Hoshea, V'yishaya, Amos, U'micha. So, V'lukhtim, Hoshea, Bereisha. So, amongst that group, why doesn't Hoshea come before, let's say, Yishayahu, who comes earlier? So, Kivan, Dechsev, Nevu, that since his nevuos are together with Chagai Zecharia Malachi, and their nevuos were the end, they were the Sof Nevi'im, so he gets thrown together with them, even though chronologically he was earlier. But why do we put him together with Chagai Zecharia Malachi? Why can't we put Hoshea's nevuos by themselves and have them earlier, have them way earlier? So I did the Zutar Mirkas. No, because since it's such a tiny sefer, it's going to get lost in the shuffle if we put it too much earlier. It needs to be put together with other Nevi'im, so we put it together with the other short Nevi'im. So Michti Yishayahu Kadam Yirmiyahu V'Yecheskel Liktim El Yishayahu Bereisha. Yishayahu came before Yirmiyahu and Yecheskel. So why in the order of Nevi'im isn't Sefer Yishayahu first? So answers Gemara, it's thematically arranged, not chronologically arranged. Kivan de Malachim, Sofei Chorban, Yirmiyahu, Kulei Chorbana. Since Malachim ends with Chorban, Yirmiyahu is all about Chorban. V'Yecheskel, Reishi Chorban, V'Sefei Nechemta. And Yecheskel starts with Chorban and ends with Nechama. V'Yishayahu, Kulei Nechemta. And Yishayahu is all about Nechama. Samchin Chorban al Chorban, V'Nechemta al Nechemta. So we want to arrange that Chorban is right next to Chorban and Nechama is right next to Nechama. And that way it's thematically arranged rather than chronologically arranged. Okay, Mitzvah, we'll continue with the order of Nevi'im and Ksuvim tomorrow.